Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, February 18, 2024, Romans.
Testing, testing. Is that working? Huh? No? Is it working? It is working. Doesn't sound like a bomber taking off like last time. All right, before we get started, you know, we always have something very, very special. Pictures up here when it's somebody's birthday. And the fellow who does that back here, Dave. And see, I tell him not to put anything up when it's my birthday. Well, he put up, "I can do this." I can put Happy B-Day, David. Now, we didn't know this. Michelle slipped through the crack. Michelle slipped through the crack, and we didn't have a special happy birthday for her. She's pissed off and didn't even come today. But for Dave, Dave's birthday is tomorrow, and they have made a special holiday, canceled school, everything, just for his birthday. So, on his behalf, one, two, three, happy birthday to you! Hey. You didn't know I could hit that note, did you? I didn't either. Now we do have a couple of other announcements. First of all, Don and Sue say thank all of you for your graciousness and your thoughtfulness and preparing meals for them. And I want to thank you all for your graciousness and thoughtfulness. You've been phenomenal in providing meals for Don and Sue. And but for right now, we're good with what's been provided, and we'll let you know when we need more. So that's the first announcement, but yeah, thank you again. You're a special congregation that understands grace and provides these things. And the second announcement, teachers meeting after second class today. Teachers meeting after second class. All right. And here's a special announcement, too. Today, I think I'm going to finish Romans chapter 6. Woo! Come on, chapter 7. So if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, we'll start the corrected translation at verse 20. We've completed the exegesis of 20 through 22. We have one verse of chapter 6 to go, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 20. For as long as you were slaves of the sin nature, you were not under the control, or you were not slaves to righteousness, the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying? Now, that's how that should be translated. And you learn this by studying from the original autographs. We have a verb, echo, E-C-H long O. Now literally, you've heard this many times here, echo means to have and to hold, literally. And there's an object here, karpos, and that's K-A-R-P-O-S. And literally, that means fruit. So this says, literally, have fruit. But that's not what it says here. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, tells us that when these two words are put together, it has a very special meaning. And it should be correctly translated, therefore, what advantages and benefits, instead of fruit, what advantages and benefits are you enjoying? So literally, have fruit. Together, what advantages and benefits are you enjoying? And that's how it's used in verse 21. That's how it's used in verse 22. And that is way powerful and communicates exactly what God the Holy Spirit is telling us. Therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were enslaved to the sin nature, because of which things you are now ashamed? And this question in the Greek demands the answer, no advantages, no benefits, absolutely none. For the outcome of those things is death, spiritual death in time, parlayed into eternal death. Now, verse 22. But now, having been set free from the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, and having become enslaved to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth, now you are enjoying, you're having and enjoying your advantages and benefits resulting in sanctification. All three phases of sanctification. And the outcome is eternal life. This transfer of slavery from the sin nature to slavery to the Lord Jesus Christ, that occurs at the very moment of salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. As an unbeliever, enslaved to the sin nature, you had no benefits. You had no advantages that you enjoyed. But now, as a believer enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have and enjoy amazing advantages and benefits, all by the grace and power of God. As a believer and slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the amazing advantages and benefits that come with the doctrine of sanctification in all three phases. First of all, positional sanctification. That's phase one sanctification, where we're entered into union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that provides for us amazing advantages and benefits, including sharing the eternal life of Christ. And when you combine that with the imputation of eternal life at the point of regeneration, it results in a double portion of eternal life. And then the amazing advantage and benefit of sharing the righteousness of Christ, which, when combined with the imputation of righteousness from God the Father, results in a double portion of righteousness. And these amazing advantages and benefits of positional sanctification include sharing the election of Christ, Ephesians 1:4, sharing the sonship of Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27, Ephesians 1:5, having God the Father pursue us with grace in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:6, sharing the heirship of Christ, Romans 8:16 and 17, sharing the royal priesthood of Christ, 1 Peter 2:5 and 9, and being made spiritual aristocracy, royal family of God, being in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So, positional sanctification, phase one sanctification, being entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, provides all of these amazing advantages and benefits. And then, experiential sanctification. Phase two sanctification. This provides the amazing advantages and benefits of having the unique spiritual life of the church age. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. The divine power to live the spiritual life. And we are encapsulated by the integrity of God, establishing the grace pipeline for amazing blessings. For at that moment of faith in Christ, instantly, we all receive 40 salvation blessings above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. And then from that day right up to today, God has given you logistical grace, blessing, and support, temporal security, to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And when you advance to spiritual maturity, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings for eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The great advantage and benefit of being enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ is living the unique spiritual life of the church age, attaining spiritual maturity, and this results in maximum glorification of God and receiving our greater grace blessings for both time and for eternity. And then the third phase of sanctification, ultimate sanctification. Phase three sanctification provides the amazing advantages and benefits of having a resurrection body and having the state of being blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. 1 Corinthians 1:8, Ephesians 1:4. And then following the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ, winner believers will receive their greater grace blessing for the eternal state. And these greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever and ever. These greater grace blessings include the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, the crown of life, Revelation 2:10, James 1:12, and for the winner pastor teachers, the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:1 through 4. And the ultimate decoration, the order of the morning star, Revelation 2:26 and 28. The outcome of the advantages and benefits of sanctification is eternal life, and that's our passage, Romans 6:22. God's plan has both temporal and eternal security, as well as temporal and eternal blessings. Now that brings us to Romans 6, verse 23. And many of you know this verse very well. You may have memorized it. You might have it on your refrigerator or something. Romans 6:23 starts out, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the nominative plural of opsonion with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of hamartia with a definite article, plus the predicate nominative of thanatos. We start out with the postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And this gar is an illative gar, and the illative use of gar introduces a reason. And it's correctly translated for. And then we have a very unique and rare Greek word, opsonion. O-P-S, long O, N-I-O-N, opsonion. Very rare. In fact, it's only found four times in the New Testament scriptures. Once by Luke, and three times by the Apostle Paul. First of all, turn over to Luke 3:14. Luke 3:14. Luke chapter 3, verse 14. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force, or accuse anyone falsely, but be content with your opsonion." Be content with your opsonia. Now you probably say, well, hey, this is a military term. Good point. Yes, it is. It is a military term. Three times it's used by Paul in our passage, Romans 6:23. But turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. And here the Apostle Paul uses it as he is teaching the believers in Corinth. Now, you know a lot about the believers in Corinth. They set the world record for categories of reversionism, and they spent most of their time in Satan's cosmic system. They did not under Paul taught. A lot of these believers have been believers a long time, and they never have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They're still spiritual babies. They're still carnal. They're not spiritual. They've been carnal for years and years and years, and they're still carnal. And the Apostle Paul says, I robbed other churches. Now, before you get too far, I didn't know Paul was in robbery. He says, I robbed other churches, taking opsonion from them to serve you. You see, the believers in Corinth were baby believers, carnal believers. They never grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They didn't know what grace giving was. They did not know what grace giving was, and the Apostle Paul, refused. He never asked for a dime. Paul never asked for a dime from these believers. He knew that God would provide and take care of him, and so he was not telling the believers in Corinth, you ought to be providing by grace. He says, I robbed other churches. What churches were those? Well, there was some fantastic believers up in Macedonia, in Philippi. And guess what? Philippi was one of the places where the military would retire. And here were all of these churches were made up, for the most part, with military, believers who had served in the military. And you know, Philippians is one of the only epistles that the Apostle Paul never had to assert his apostolic authority. He didn't have to. They were military. They understood authority. And they knew that Paul was the authority. And so Paul never started out an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to assert his authority. These believers responded to Paul's teaching, grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and we learn from Philippians that they were poor. They weren't rich, they weren't millionaires. In Corinth, a lot of these people were millionaires. They didn't have a clue as to what grace was and grace giving was. Paul never even asked them for a cent, not one. But here there were some poor believers, military, retired military, and they would send to Paul grace giving to support his ministry while he was in Corinth. He was supported by poor believers in Macedonia, in Philippi, but not by the Corinthians there. And he says, in effect, I robbed other churches. They were poor. They didn't have a lot of money, and yet they gave in grace. They understood grace giving, and they gave in grace. And Paul was blessed by that. He never took a cent from the Corinthians. They didn't even know what grace giving was. They were too arrogant, too carnal, too reversionistic. So he says, I robbed other churches, those churches in Philippi, Macedonia, taking wages from them to serve you. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9. Verse 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own opsonion, at his own expense? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? So, once this word is used by Luke 3:14, three times by Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:8, 1 Corinthians 9:7, and our passage, Romans 6:23. So a couple of things. One, opsonion is a military term. It's a military term. Two, it is ration money paid to a soldier. Ration money paid to a soldier. Three, it is subsistence allowance. Subsistence allowance. Four, it was maintenance and sustenance allowance in the military. It was maintenance and sustenance allowance in the military. Five, it came to have the extended meaning of wages, pay, compensation. It came to have the extended meaning of wages, pay, compensation. Now, these wages, opsonion, this compensation is being paid by what? By hamartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia. In the singular, that's the sin nature. So this says, for the wages, the compensation paid by the sin nature. For the opsonion, the wages, the compensation paid by the sin nature is thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Death. Literally, this is the word, Greek word for death. Here refers to spiritual death, resulting in eternal death. That is the second death, the lake of fire. So corrected translation, for the opsonion, for the wages or compensation paid by the sin nature for services rendered to it is death, spiritual death, resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. For the wages, the opsonion, or the compensation paid by the sin nature for the services rendered to it is death, spiritual death, resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of charisma with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article, plus zoe modified by ionios. Now we have the postpositive conjunction de. D-E. It is a conjunction of contrast and correctly translated, but. Now it sets up a contrast between one, a contrast between the unbeliever with the believer. Secondly, the contrast between spiritual death with eternal life. And third, the contrast between the lake of fire, which is earned and deserved, with heaven, which is a grace gift. So it sets up a contrast between the unbeliever with the believer, a contrast between spiritual death with eternal life, a contrast with the lake of fire, which is earned and deserved, with heaven, which is a grace gift. And then we have charisma. Looks like that in the Greek, C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A, charisma. First of all, charisma literally means a gift. Charisma literally means a gift. And it comes from our word, which we're very, very familiar with, charis, if you just take this part. That is the noun charis, which is grace. So charisma, which literally means gift, comes from the noun charis, grace, too. So charisma is a grace gift, a grace gift, a gracious gift. Three, it is a gift that is freely and graciously given. And it's freely and graciously given by ha theos. The definite article ha theos, God, the God. The genitive case is the genitive of source, from the source of the God. And then we have zoe, Z, long O, long E, life, modified by ionios. A, I, long O, N, I, O, S, ionios, eternal. Eternal life. So the corrected translation, for the wages or compensation paid by the sin nature for services and work rendered to it is death. Spiritual death resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. But the grace gift from the source of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of Christos Jesus, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, and the dative singular of kurios with the definite article. Well, I'm going to put this up here, as it is in the Greek. En Christo Jesu. and, that's in. And this is the dative singular of Christos, Christ, and then Jesus, I-long-E-S-O-U-S, Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now we have several phrases in the New Testament all related to this dispensation, the church age. Unique, special, special meaning. In Christ Jesus. In Christ. In Him. All of those are talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being identified with Jesus Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session, seated at the right hand of God the Father. It is current positional. Every time you in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in Him, all of that is current positional truth. You are in union with Jesus Christ. Technical. Technical every time for current positional truth. So this is current positional truth. This is union with Christ as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the corrected translation says, for the wages or compensation paid by the sin nature for services, work rendered to it, is death. Spiritual death, resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. But the grace gift from the source of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, this is just awesome. What a blessing. One, the second death, or the lake of fire, is earned and deserved. The second death, the lake of fire, is earned and deserved. Two, it is compensation paid by the sin nature for services and work rendered to it by the unbeliever. It is compensation paid by the sin nature for services and work rendered to it by the unbeliever. Three, but eternal life is a grace gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. But eternal life is a grace gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Four, hell depends on the work of man, while heaven depends on the work of God. Hell depends on the work of man, while heaven depends on the work of God. Five, as royal family of God, we have a double portion of eternal life. We have the real imputation of God the Father's eternal life to the human spirit through regeneration, the regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. At that moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So we have the real imputation of God the Father's eternal life to the human spirit through regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. John 3:16, John 3:36. And we have sharing the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and current positional truth. 1 John 5:11 and 12, an hour passage. Romans 6:23, in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ. So secondly, we have sharing the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Our passage, Romans 6:23, 1 John 5:11 and 12. Now that brings us to one final doctrine. We're going to get it finished, though. No. I'm not going to... You're not coming back next week for Romans 6. You're coming back for Romans 7. The doctrine of eternal life. But we're going to take a break and let you all have a go out and have some treats out there. And then come back for part 2. The doctrine of eternal life.